I spent a year at the Dominican House of Studies in Washington, D.C., and there was a priest there, one of the professors who was in charge of the Student Brothers' homilies and public proclamations. And if he didn't like what he heard, you would be greeted with, "Brother, where's the good news?" I kind of want to ask that this morning, because the readings that we have are rather somber. But what's going on is it's actually reminding us what we need to be about. In the first reading, Isaiah is reminding the Jewish people that as they go out into the whole world, even to the farthest ends of the world, they need to tell of the greatness of God, so that some of even the nations, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, would come back to Jerusalem and to experience God's glory. In the gospel, Jesus is challenging not just the scribes and the Pharisees and their assumption that because they are scribes and Pharisees, that they get an automatic pass into the kingdom of heaven. So too, the Lord is challenging us. He is, in a sense, giving us a swift kick in our complacency, which we need every now and again. Throughout history, there are those who presume that because they're a member of the right group, whatever that right group might be, that they will be automatically given entrance into heaven. I mean, there's all sorts of jokes where St. Peter is taking someone around heaven and they go by this certain part and St. Peter says, "Shh, you know, that's the Catholic or Jewish or Mormon or the Seventh-day Adventist part of heaven," and they think they're the only ones up here, right? That in Christ, God has extended the invitation into the kingdom of heaven to all peoples, not just the Jewish people. So what's going on? Jesus is reminding us that simply accepting God's invitation is not enough. It's not enough simply to come to Mass on Sunday. It's simply not enough to be a baptized Catholic to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We have to respond to it. We have to live like we've accepted this invitation. And this is what Luke is trying to get at with this image of trying to enter through the narrow gate. You just picture in your mind, it's like a massive crowd trying to get through this choke point. You know, you got to work to get through this crowd. You got to work to get in. You can't just kind of stand there and think you're going to get in. So we have to be active responders to God's invitation. It's not enough simply to friend Jesus on Facebook. It's not simply enough to eat and drink with him in his company. That we have to live as if our invitation by God means something. And this is what Jesus is reminding us, that we need to go out and be his agents in transforming the world. Now, in the letter to the Hebrews, the author is reminding us that when trials come our way, not if, but when trials come our way, that we can look at them as discipline from God, even though they might not be directly from God. Because in Jesus, we have the perfect example of God transforming evil and suffering into good. We just have to look at the cross, where God transformed the passion and death of Jesus into the glory of the resurrection. So we need not be anxious about the trials and the tribulations in our lives, no matter where they come from, whether they're from our own sinfulness or stupidity, or from outside of ourselves, that they can be transformed by God. And so too, when we exert our efforts to make God better known in our world, when we seek to be active co-heirs with Christ in bringing the good news to others, so too God can transform that suffering or even failure in failing to achieve what we set out. But the point is that we are exerting ourselves, that we are going out and seeking to extend the kingdom of God. There is this dynamism in the Christian life, that we come on Sunday to be nourished by the Lord in word and sacrament, not simply for us to hold on to and keep for the rest of the week, but to go out and give us the strength to go out and to embrace our vocations wholeheartedly, again, to be agents of the transforming power of Christ. And then next week, when we're tired and run out of gas, we come back to be nourished and strengthened again, so that we can be then go out and sent out again. Indeed, that's what the last words of the Mass mean. It's kind of funny that when we did the new translation of the Missal, about 10 years ago now, they said it's much more literal. Well, the last words that the priest says to the congregation is, "Go, you are sent." Having received the nourishment at the Lord's table, we are sent out into the world. So let us take that call seriously. Let us not ignore it, or we will be the ones who find ourselves on the outside of the kingdom of God, looking in with wailing and gnashing of teeth when others whom we didn't expect, who did respond wholeheartedly to God's call, are in the kingdom. So let us receive the Lord's warning with a sober heart. Take seriously his challenge to be instruments with him in transforming the world, so that when we appear after our death at the pearly gates, the Lord can say to us, "Come, good and faithful servant, share your master's joy."